today, Monday, and this coming Friday, and then following Monday, and the following, I think it's Thursday, something like that. This is, I've been planning to make a presentation that has four parts. And this is the first part, the life of, whoops. I got stuck. So, for you two that are a little blue, you know who's Krishna? Yes. You know who's Krishna? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Good. Then, you know, we just were chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And a form of Krishna, we're going to hear in the course of this presentation, who's pictured right here, Lord Chaitanya, he appeared about 500 years ago, 500 plus, 525 years ago. And he popularized or promulgated the chanting of Hare Krishna. And according to scriptures, that chanting of Hare Krishna is the primary means of achieving spiritual perfection in the present age of mankind, or Kali Yuga. There's four ages, according to Vedic literature. There's four ages. Like, you know, summer, fall, winter, spring. There's four seasons and four ages, and they cycle again and again. And the present age of mankind, big cycles of time, 4,320,000,000 years is one cycle. Long time. But the present age is characterized by strife, quarrel, hypocrisy, shortness of memory, a diminished duration of life, diminished interest in spirituality. It's the winter season. Down. And during this age, the access of, at least the opportunity to enter into an activity that will be most beneficial towards spiritual perfection, according to the scriptures, is this chanting of the holy name. Lord Chaitanya came to deliver that. And we're going to hear in the course of this presentation, Lord Chaitanya's position is actually Krishna himself. Krishna is the speaker of Bhagavad Gita. And at the concluding message of Bhagavad Gita is all other forms of spiritual elevation take a second position to one essential element for spiritual elevation, that is to take shelter of Krishna. So just after Krishna appeared, the next yuga, the next age, this one, Krishna appeared to teach how to do that. Who can teach it better than Krishna? So he appeared as his own devotee, that's Lord Chaitanya, as his own devotee, a devotee of Krishna, but he's Krishna himself, teaching in the Sanskrit phrase is chana avatar, disguised form, or he didn't disclose his identity as the Supreme, but he was Krishna teaching supremely how to take shelter of Krishna, especially through the chanting of the holy name. And when Krishna appeared, he didn't come alone. He came with many, 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 many associates. And among those many associates, a chief associate was Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, we're going to hear something this evening, is hearing about his life. Because the other three evenings, is Haridas in a conversation with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describing the effects, the glories of the holy name. And when you chant the holy name, what happens? And different things about the holy name. So those other three evenings, it's from a book called Harinama Chintamani, so that the flyer that was created used this word touchstone. And we'll speak about that on Friday, what a touchstone is. But right now, the person who speaks it, this touchstone of the holy name or Harinama Chintamani, is Haridas. And we're going to hear some of the life and the unique characteristics of Haridas. And the purpose of doing that, you know, unfortunately people that will be here Friday that aren't here this evening won't have the benefit that you all are going to have. Before you hear from someone, we just did this also this Thanksgiving weekend, a book written by another one of Lord Chaitanya's associates, or our followers, was Jiva Goswami. So he spent 2 hours just glorifying Jiva Goswami, describing his life and his character and his qualification, and hearing the glories of such a person, Jiva Goswami, or in this case, Haridas. It's etiquette. You're coming before or hearing from a super exalted person. So you open your heart and appreciate the person, so that when the person speaks, because the next three classes he's going to speak, your heart is open. And so you can receive better when your heart is open. It's etiquette. But it's a spiritual principle. Beyond etiquette, it's not just, you know, culture people do these things. It's to receive more effectively Haridas Thakur's message. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Haridas as the principal teacher of the holy name. The Sanskrit word is acharya. Acharya means teacher by example. So some people teach by their words, some people teach by example. Haridas did both. We're going to hear that this evening. So this is the life of Haridas Thakur and the glories of Haridas Thakur as a step before hearing his message. Harinam Chintamani, or the touchstone of the holy name. This is a photograph taken from the place where he resided in the last portion of his life in Jagannath Puri. Jagannath Puri is on the eastern side of India, right by the Indian Ocean. And it's the place where Lord Jagannath, the huge deity, I mean, he's taller than the wall, he's a huge deity, three. And because Lord Chaitanya went to reside there, Haridas also followed and went to reside there. And this is where he sat underneath a very special tree, this one. We'll hear something about that special tree. It's called a Siddha Bakul tree. I'll tell it right now. The Siddha Bakul got its name because when Haridas went to reside in Puri, he was extremely humble, and he declined to accept, to even enter the temple, because he felt himself unqualified to even enter the temple. He just wanted to be close to Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya gave him a place to reside where he could sit, and then he could see the dome on top of the temple, the chakra on top of the temple, saying, that's as good as seeing the deity. Just see the chakra every day. You're seeing Lord Jagannath. So he would sit and chant. But those of you that are from India or have been to India, especially in the summer, you know it gets really hot. Too hot. So one morning when Lord Chaitanya came to visit Haridas, he saw he was sitting in the hot sun, hot summer sun. And Lord Chaitanya happened to have a stick in his hand, little toothbrush. Toothbrush meaning when one of the little details they do each day in the worship of Lord Jagannath is they offer various articles to him in the morning and midday and evening. And one of the morning articles they offer is a soft branch of a bakul tree. A bakul is like, you know, maple or elm or oak. It's a type of tree. Bakul tree. And what they do is, it's green, so it's young. And then at the both ends, they make it soft. They, you know, cut it so it's kind of like spread out like this, like bristles. And they just offer to Lord Jagannath. And then it's considered paraphernalia of the deity. And then one of those bakul branches was given to Lord Chaitanya one morning. So when he went to see Haridas and saw him sitting out in the hot sun, he felt sorry for him. So he took the branch of the bakul and stuck it in the ground. And a miracle happened. A bakul tree manifested with big, because bakul trees have really big leaves. Like really big leaves. And so it created immediately a fully mature bakul tree under which Haridas could sit in shade. So from that miracle, the tree became Siddha Bakul. Siddha means perfection. So from, if you ever go to visit Puri, may you one day get the good opportunity to visit Puri. And if you ask the local people, where's the place of Haridas Thakur? They won't know. But if you say, where is Siddha Bakul? Oh, Siddha Bakul. We know Siddha Bakul. You'll see when you go to visit. So he sat underneath the Siddha Bakul and he chanted the holy name a lot. And we'll hear how much he chanted. So here's a little map and a little bit of the history of Haridas Thakur. He was born 1451, approximately 35 years before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And the place where he appeared was in this district, the district of Jessore, which doesn't mean anything to the rest of us in this room. But it's now in Bangladesh. At that time it was East Bengal. And he was born in a Muslim family. Interesting. There isn't a lot of information about his family, the name and the details of his family, other than he was born in a Muslim family. And interestingly, although born in a Muslim family, from the first he could speak words, he was speaking Krishna's name. He just had this affinity for Krishna's name. And according to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and other Varacharyas, Haridas Thakur was Lord Brahma. And we'll tell a little bit about how that happened. And in addition, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu referred to Haridas Thakur as an incarnation, a manifestation of Prahlad. Now, I'll say a little bit about Prahlad now because and I can tell more about it later. For those of you that are relatively new, Prahlad was a perfectly pure, saintly child. His father was the opposite, but he was a perfectly saintly, pure child. And from his childhood, without reservation, Prahlad had an attraction for the chanting of the holy name. Here, the painting shows where Prahlad is with his classmates, and as soon as the teachers left the room, instead of, you know, party time like kids will do when there's no supervision, he just wanted them all to sing and chant and dance them, call out the holy names of Krishna. And he gave them teachings connected to why that is so, why it's a nice thing to do. So, there's the reference here is Mahaprakash Leela. For those of you that have been around for a while, you know what that is. It's a pastime where Lord Chaitanya, while he was still residing in his place of birth in the town of Navadvipa, a seat of high learning for Brahminical culture during this time. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated a pastime that was another miracle. He sat on the altar, on the throne of Vishnu, and displayed his divinity. Although normally he was hiding his divinity, he did just the opposite. He called, sitting on the throne, on the altar, in this tumultuous kirtan going on, one by one, he called the devotees forward and disclosed his divinity to them in different ways. We would spend 2 hours just discussing that pastime. It's very famous. Mahaprakash. Prakash means manifest. Mahaprakash. Great, you know, great pastime of manifesting his divinity. And when he called Haridas Thakur forward, he got off the throne and went and embraced Haridas and said to everybody, or said to Haridas, "You are a perfect manifestation of Prahlad Maharaj himself." And why? Because of the humility and the purity of Prahlad and the attraction that Prahlad had to chanting of the holy name. So our previous acharyas or teachers, they have indicated this, that Haridas, in his previous life, before Haridas, was Lord Brahma, and combination Haridas and Prahlad. Here's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in his Navadvipa Mahatmya. This is Krishna manifesting an amazing form of many, many Krishnas simultaneously, as manifestations of each cowherd boy and each calf. I'm going to briefly narrate that pastime. Here's some demigods watching the scene from the sky. This is Lord Brahma observing the situation over here. It's a pastime that takes place in Vrindavan, where Krishna, one day, was with the cows, or calves, and the cowherd boys, and they were circumambulating around Govardhan Hill, and as they were moving, they saw this huge thing. It looked like a cave. And the boys were very surprised. "We've never seen a cave here before. What's this?" So they, "Let's go check it out." And when they got closer, they could smell this bad, fishy smell coming from the mouth of the cave. And then they put two and two together and said, "This isn't a cave. This is a giant serpent lying in the road. But anyway, Krishna has always protected us. Let's go inside and see what's there." So they all started climbing into the mouth of the Agasura demon. And the text related to this painting, Krishna was considering the coward, not just the cowherd boys will be in danger because of this wicked creature, demon manifesting this awful, ugly form. But what's going to happen if the Agasura demon closes his mouth? Then the cowherd boys, they won't see me. And I'm their life and soul. If they can't see me even for a moment, they won't bear it. So he wanted to protect them. So what Krishna did was, he entered into the mouth of the Agasura demon, and he exhibited one of his many mystic powers. His body became bigger and 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 so big that it suffocated the Agasura demon. His soul left his body from the top of his head, hovered in the sky for a short while, and as Krishna had left the body of Agasura, it merged into the body of Krishna, achieved liberation. And the boys went, "Wow, that was good. Let's go have lunch." So they were sitting, having lunch, and Brahma came overseeing the situation, because he had seen this Agasura demon being killed. And then he became curious, you know, "Who is this little boy? Now, he's Krishna's devotee, but he became bewildered just to see this display of Krishna's opulence, and he began to ponder, what is the extent of the powers of this little boy? Now, he looks like a little boy. So, what will he do if I steal all the calves and kidnap all the cowherd boys? Is he going to cry? What's he going to do? So, that's what Brahma did. He gathered up the cows, started wandering here and there, and then he gathered up all the cows. There's more cows back here. He gathered up all the cows and put them all in the cave, or calves, little calves. And then when the cowherd boys noticed the calves are missing, they said, oh, the calves are missing. We better go find where the calves are. Krishna said, don't worry. You continue with your lunch. I'll go find the calves. I'll be right back. So they continued their lunch. Krishna went away. And when Krishna went away, then Brahma took the cowherd boys and put them in another cave. And when he came back to see what's Krishna going to do with that situation, Krishna was standing there alone, and no calves, no cowherd boys. Well, excuse me, then there was all the calves and all the cowherd boys. Yes, all the calves and all the cowherd boys. Brahma was bewildered. What happened? I put them all in the cave. So he went back to the cave, and there they were in the cave. So he went back to the situation, and what's going on? And suddenly, Krishna, for each of the cowherd boys, he manifested forms of Narayana. In other words, these cowherd boys were him. They were his expansions. And they were exact replicas of the cowherd boys and the calves. And there's more to the story. But Brahma had this uh-oh experience. Uh-oh, I made a big mistake. I just offended Krishna. I kidnapped his cows and cowherd boys, his dear friends, and put them in a cave just like to check out Krishna. So then he offered prayers to Krishna. That was this other painting that you saw a little bit ago. Which one? That one. Brahma came before Krishna, offered a whole chapter's worth of prayers. Very beautiful prayers. Canto 10, chapter 14. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Navadvipa Dham Mahatmya, oh, there's the painting again, that he felt very repentant. Brahma was afraid that he would have a further problem from reaction. So he went to Antardweep. This is Antardweep. This is a place, a holy place in India. And he went there and he began to meditate and perform austerities. And when he, after some time, Lord Gauranga, that's this person here, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came before Haridas, came before Lord Brahma and said, you please me very much by your austerity. I am going to appear in this form, Lord Brahma, in my next incarnation. And you will take part in my pastimes. And Lord Brahma said, you are most merciful and please be especially merciful. I don't want to become proud like I have become proud of my position as Lord Brahma. So when I take part in your pastimes, please keep me in a very humble position. So Lord Chaitanya said, you'll be born in a family of malechas. Malechas means people that are not of good character. And you will preach the glories of the holy name and bring auspiciousness to all living beings. These are words that are taken directly from this book of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Navadvipa Dham Mahatmya. So, Lord Brahma, pictured here, he then became Haridas Thakur, pictured here. So here's Lord Chaitanya, and he's in the association of Haridas, who was in years of age 35 years older, than so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was much younger. And after Haridas Thakur made his appearance, like we heard in now Bangladesh, this is a slide that is saying that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, according to Navadvip Mahatmya and our scriptures, we understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, and Lord Brahma is Haridas Thakur. And Krishna came to display wonderful, wonderful pastimes. Brahma was fortunate enough to be a participant in them. And then next he came to teach the holy name. So through Haridas Thakur, he taught the holy name, both by performance of activity as well as by his teachings. Haridas Thakur taught about the holy name as well as chanted. So there's a lot of text taken from Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita. Haridas Thakur chanted all day long, every day for his life, even from when he was little. And all day long we chanted all day long, we couldn't chant as much as he chanted. He chanted 300,000 names every day, which is the equivalent of 64 rounds times 3 every day. Over the January 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of this coming new year, we're going to be conducting a japa retreat in our central New Jersey center. You're all invited. And one of those days, on January 3rd, we're going to be conducting a 64-round day. And for, devotees, that's really invigorating. And it takes most of the day to chant 64 rounds. And then the next day, we're not going to be chanting 64 rounds of the day before that, but Haridas was not chanting 64, he was chanting 3 times 64 every day. And just very quickly, the math means, if you chant, many of us chant 16 rounds in 2 hours, more or less, 64 means 24 hours. Do the math. 16 times 4 makes 64. That's 8 hours. Times 3, 24 hours. Oh, pretty impressive. And that, to do that, there must be great humility, and that also brings great spiritual potency. But that was Haridas' service to Lord Chaitanya. He was the acharya of the chanting of the holy name. So now one of the early pastimes in his life was delivering of a prostitute, and the narration goes like this. From that place that you saw in Jessor, he moved when he was a young man, very beautiful features. For some time he stayed in a forest outside a village. The village name is Dainapol, and there's now a Hare Krishna center in that place. I've been to it. It's a very nice place. It's just on the border of Bangladesh. So there he constructed a cottage in a quiet place in the forest, and he planted a little tulsi plant, and in front of the tulsi plant he constantly, literally morning till night, all day long, chanted the holy name. And for his maintenance, it's described that he would go door to door to the homes of brahmanas and accept alms or whatever they would give him. And by that method, although he lived in the forest, they came to know of him, and they came to know of his activities and his qualities, and he got quite a following in that little village. And then his notoriety started spreading to other villages in the region. And then in other regions. So he became an acclaimed saint when he was very young. Now something happens often when somebody becomes very spiritually qualified. There's some envious people that don't like it. And there's the fellow. Ramchandra Khan, and the way the description goes, that he was a ruler, largely because he was a land holder, and at that time, the system was people, their livelihood was largely agrarian based, and so they would go to the landholder, and they would, with his permission, take care of or cultivate a certain portion of his land, and they would give a certain portion of what they produced, like taxes, to the landholder. So de facto, he became like the local ruler. So he was a really powerful guy. And he didn't like Haridas Thakur's notoriety. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the author calls him the chief of the atheists. So his envy was getting the best of him. And he started to make a plan of how to bring down this saintly person, thinking that he's worldly like Ramchandra Khan. Ramchandra Khan gathered together the best known prostitutes in the area and asked them, amongst you all, who's the best and who can make Haridas Thakur fall down? So they all looked at one who was, she's the best. And she said, oh, I'll go. And Ramchandra Khan said, well, I'm going to have a band of soldiers. As soon as he does something, then we'll pounce on him and, you know, disgrace him. Let everybody know he's a charlatan. She said, no, let us enjoy together one evening, and then you can come the second evening once I've broken him down. So he said, that's a good plan. Okay. So she went, and when she went, she dressed in a certain way that we don't talk too much about. And exposing different parts of her body and wiggling and all that stuff that people do. And, you're so handsome and I can't control myself. Woo, woo, woo. And, can you satisfy my desires? And Haridas said, well, surely I can satisfy your desires, but I've taken a vow to complete my chanting. So you just sit here by the door of my little cottage, and when I finish my chanting, surely I'll satisfy your desires. Well, he chanted all night long. And when the sun came up, she was yawning, saying, you know, I gotta go home now. He said, well, I couldn't finish my chanting, but you come back tomorrow and surely I'll satisfy your desires. And this went on for three nights. And by the end of the third night, she had become purified just by hearing the chanting of Haridas. And then she, before the third evening was over, she disclosed to Haridas the dirty plot of Ramchandra Khan, that she was there on a mission to get him to fall down. And Haridas said, well, the next slide says, I knew everything about the conspiracy of Ramchandra Khan. He's nothing but an ignorant fool. Therefore, his activities do not make me feel unhappy. On the very day Ramchandra Khan was planning his intrigue against me, I would have left this place. But because you have come to me, I stayed here for 3 days just to deliver you. So he said, you're feeling repentant. You'd like to take shelter of the holy name. So then I have this instruction for you. Go back to your home. Take all of this golden ornaments and fine clothing and all the stuff you've accumulated from this profession of yours and just give it away. And come back just wearing one cloth and shave your head. And sit here before the Tulsi plant and I'll give you this residence and you can chant the holy name as I have been chanting the holy name. So she accepted that kindness of Haridas she made his place of residence her place of residence, and he then left. And when he left, here's a comment by Bhaktisiddhanta, a commentary, Bhaktisiddhanta. Real faith can alone lead to the presence, can alone lead one to the presence of a pure soul. The material mind cannot reach the proximity of a sadhu. The harlot, that's this lady, possessed the spiritual faculty by which it was possible for her to really approach Thakur Haridas. So deep inside there was some sincerity, although through association and exploitation and other things, her life was different. But in Haridas's association, she was able to access his association, and she then became a renowned saint. You know, the prostitute that became a renowned saint through the association of Haridas. But he didn't want the fame of having rescued her. He just left. And then it's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat that sometime later, so now, this was before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, because when Haridas left, there were two other places he went before Lord Chaitanya appeared. Then sometime later, Lord Nityananda pictured here. Lord Nityananda, just like those of you that are new. This is Lord Chaitanya, and one of his chief associates was Lord Nityananda, or this is Lord Nityananda. So along with a number of other devotees, Lord Nityananda came to the very same place in Bainapol with their kirtan performers and sat down in the Durga Mandap. It's a place where, an outdoor place where Durga was worshipped, right at the home of Ramchandra Khan. It wasn't an accident. Lord Nityananda went there for a purpose. And Ramchandra Khan made a big offense. He had a big reaction from a big offense. What he did was, he approached Lord Nityananda and said, there's not room enough for you and all your followers here, so why don't you go over there, there's a cow shed, and you can stay in the cow shed. Lord Nityananda got up in an angry mood, and then Ramchandra Khan had the whole Durga Mandap dug up, like, you know, for purpose of relieving it of contamination, sprinkled it with cow dung, and Lord Nityananda has contaminated my place of worship, was his message. So, this is now commentary. Ramchandra lost his caste, his wealth, his relations, and everything he possessed as his own. That, you know, the whole village, not only Ramchandra Khan, lost everything. The whole village became desolate because the village shared this offense. So, don't mess with Lord Nityananda either. Then when he left, one of the places that Haridas went to was the home of the Majumdar family. There's details, but I'm not going to go into all of them. The Majumdar family were super wealthy, amongst the wealthiest families in all of India at the time. You know, like a Birla family kind of thing. Very, very wealthy family. And they were Vaishnavas, and their Brahmana spiritual master had met Haridas, and the Majumdar family was informed of the presence of Haridas in their area. So they invited him, let's have a big function, a gathering, bring together all the Brahmanas, we'll discuss the glories of the holy name. So they started that function. And one of the Brahmanas said, holy name is so glorious that one who chants the holy name, they can free themselves from all the reactions of sins in all their lives, just from chanting the holy name. And another Brahmana said, even more, one can achieve liberation from material existence, just from chanting the holy name. Then it was Haridas Thakur's turn to speak, and he said, "No, no, no. This is the glories of the reflection of the holy name. These are mere indications of a reflection. The glories of the holy name is far greater, far, far greater. One can achieve love of God and return to the spiritual world from the chanting of the holy name without offense." And so this fellow, Gopal, there we go, Gopal Chakravarti is his name. He stood up in the middle of the assembly and got really angry. Here's what Haridas is saying. I'll read it, it's nice. "As the sun begins to rise, even before visible, it dissipates the darkness of night. With the first glimpse of sunlight, fear of thieves, ghosts, and demons immediately disappears, and when the sun is actually visible, everything is manifest, and everyone begins performing his religious activities and regular duties. Similarly, the first hint that offenseless chanting of the Lord's holy name has awakened dissipates the reactions of sinful life immediately, and when one chants the holy name offenselessly, one awakens to service in ecstatic love at the lotus feet of Krishna. Liberation is the insignificant result derived from a glimpse of the awakening of the offenseless chanting of the holy name." That's something that we're trying to achieve. So this fellow here, this Gopal Chakravarti, he got really hot-headed Brahmana, and shaking his finger at Haridas, "Oh, assembly of learned scholars, just hear the conclusion of this emotional devotee. After millions upon millions of births, when one is complete in absolute knowledge, one may still not attain liberation, yet this man says that one may attain it simply by the awakening of a glimpse of the holy name? Ha! If one is not liberated by Namabhas, then you may be certain that I shall cut off your nose!" Right in the middle of the assembly, got really worked up. Haridas said, "If it doesn't, I'll cut off my own nose." And then he gave scriptural reference after scriptural reference after scriptural reference, indicating for sure that's what happens. And the Majumdar family tossed him out. And sure enough, within 3 days, the Majumdars begged forgiveness. They saw Haridas as a saint. Haridas was not disturbed, but Krishna was disturbed. And within 3 days, the Brahmana became afflicted with leprosy. And his nose wasn't cut by Haridas, but it began to fall off. And his toes and his fingers that previously were beautiful, delicate, golden colored, became afflicted with leprosy, withered, and his fingers became stubs. Don't mess with Haridas. So after some time then, Haridas left that place, and he went to the place where Advaita Acharya resided. In this painting, here's Advaita Acharya. So there's Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Advaita. So when we begin kirtan, probably Murali Krishna will lead the kirtan, he'll sing the Panchatattva mantra because their names are mentioned in this song. You'll hear if you listen carefully. So Haridas, when you see this picture, that's image that means Haridas was there. Haridas went to a place called Shantipur, where Advaita Acharya resided, and Advaita Acharya immediately recognized Haridas as a great saintly person, and on the occasion of Shraddha is a ritual in Vedic culture where if your father or some ancestor has departed on such and such day, then you perform a ceremony called Shraddha. departed ancestor ritual, and prasad, some offering is made to Krishna, and the prasad of Krishna is given at that function to the person who is the most exalted person in the assembly. And Advaitachari was a big spiritual personality, and he said, I want to give this first offering to Haridas. And Haridas said, no. Advaitacharya, people respect you, and you'll lose all respect by giving this offering to me. I'm a Muslim-born, fallen person, have no position in the social order of society, and, you know, the other people, they're going to reject you and criticize you. And Advaitacharya said, no. According to scripture, one who is constantly chanting the holy name like you, feeding you is equal to feeding 10 million brahmanas. You're the greatest person in the assembly. Please accept. Haridas was too humble. But on the order of Advaitacharya, he accepted. Then this is commentary. Although both of these transcendental Vaishnavas, that's Advaita and Haridas, were well aware that social convention is an unimportant consideration when it comes to transcendental hierarchy, still, Haridas was always careful to observe social etiquette, to observe the peace and tranquility of society. He was fearful that Advaitacharya be subjected to criticism on his account. Advaitacharya was highly respected in Shantipur, both as a brahmana and a highly learned professor of the scriptures. Nevertheless, he was subjected to a good deal of censure and criticism for his honoring of Haridas and for his association with the Vaishnavas of Navadvipa. He never cared for any of it. He was happy to act strictly on the basis of scriptural principles. Prabhupada's comment. The Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, is a cultural movement that does not care about local social conventions. Then while he was living in this area, there's a pastime described in Chaitanya Bhagavat where, like the prostitute that came at some other place, Maya herself, dressed very attractively, came to test Haridas, and Haridas just continued chanting as he did with that other prostitute, and then Maya spoke the following words, recorded in Chaitanya Bhagavat. I am the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I came here to test you. I have previously captivated the mind of even Brahma. Haridas Thakur was previously Brahma. But now taking shelter of the holy name, protect it. Your mind alone have I failed to attract, my dear sir. You are the foremost devotee. Simply seeing you and hearing you chant the holy name of Krishna has purified my consciousness. Please give me the holy name of Krishna and thus make me fortunate so that I also may float in the flood of love of Godhead inaugurated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, nice speech by Maya Devi. Haridas delivered her. Maya is the illusory energy of the Lord. She worshipped the feet of Haridas, and he gave her initiation. Pretty good. Why I got that diksha from Haridas. By requesting her to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. After receiving this benediction, Maya left with great pleasure. Then in that same nearby, Advaitacharya lived in Shantipur, and not so far away is Hulia. Hulia is another district in same area. And he, again, like before, he became very well known and famous as a spiritual personality. And, you know, somebody got envious, and so he was brought before the local magistrate, the Qazi, to try to persuade him to give up chanting. No way would Haridas give up chanting. So what happened is Haridas was placed in a prison, waiting for his audience before the Qazi. And the other prisoners in the prison, they were really, really happy. Wow, we have this saintly person to associate with. And Haridas raised his hand and said, I'd like to give you a benediction. May you continue to remain in your present condition. And they went, what? What kind of benediction is that? We're in prison. And Haridas said, no, you don't understand. Very soon, you're all going to be out of prison. But right now, in the present situation, you're all very humble. And you're feeling yourself very dependent upon the mercy of the Supreme. So stay in that condition. I don't mean that you stay in prison. That's going to change. Life is always temporal. That whatever it is today is something else tomorrow. It's going to change. But stay in the condition of consciousness, of full dependence upon the Supreme Lord. Very nice. So then he was brought before the Qazi. And the Qazi told him, just Haridas, we don't want to punish you. People call you a saint. But, you know, you're Muslim born. Why don't you just follow Muslim scriptures and everything will be nice? Just be a saintly Muslim. No problem. Just, you know, chant another name besides this Krishna name. We have a nice name, Allah. Chant that one. And Haridas said, if you feel that I have done something wrong, you're the king, the representative of God, you have the right to punish me however you want. But let me ask you this. If whatever you think is a suitable punishment for a Hindu that becomes Muslim, then you can punish me like that because you have to be fair. If a Hindu gives up his tradition and becomes a Muslim, then he's abandoned his previous tradition. So punish me the same way you would punish him. Be fair. Just stop this chanting. And Haridas said, even if you decide to cut my body into little pieces and I give up my life, I will never give up the chanting of the Lord's holy name. Meaning, this is coming from the soul, not from body or a combination of material existence configured this way or that way. So the Qazi turned to the man who was making the complaint and said, what should we do? What's the punishment? He said, you should make a spectacle, public spectacle of this man. Anybody that does this, the following will happen. Take him into 22 marketplaces and have your strongest men beat him with sticks and with whips and beat him and beat him and beat him and beat him. Marketplaces in these areas where people would gather so they would see him being beaten like that. The painting shows, your head's in the wind, really. The painting shows Haridas is chanting. That's Bengali, he's chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So he just continuously chanted. And the people in the marketplaces, they were crying and saying, you know, he's a saint. Don't do this. You can't do this. Stop. But they were under the order of the Qazi. They couldn't stop. And this painting shows his body was marked, but actually his body wasn't marked. But anyways, we'll see that in a minute. At the end of the 22nd marketplace, The persons who were beating him, these were like, you know, powerful guys. And they said, this never happened before. You know, at most somebody lasted through two marketplaces. And by the third marketplace, they were finished. But we've been beating you for 22 marketplaces, and you're showing no sign of fatigue. We're exhausted trying to beat you. And we're in big trouble. If we go back and report to the Qazi that you didn't die, he would say you were trying hard. He'd have us killed. So Haridas smiled and said, well, I don't want to give you any trouble. And if it's going to cause you trouble, then I'll just give up my body right now. So he sat down, in a trance of meditation upon Krishna, and it's, at least it seemed to the people who were beating him that he had died. So they brought the body of Haridas to the Kazi and then asked, here's the dead body of the Kazi, what should we do? And he said, well, don't bury him, because in our religion, when somebody has died and you bury them, they go to heaven. He doesn't deserve to go to heaven. So take his body and throw it in the river, like, you know, a dead animal, and it'll just float down the river. That's what you should do. So they threw his body in the river, and he floated down the river, and then some miles down the way, he got out of the river. He came back, you know, to Paliya. And everyone's going, wow, he came back from the dead or something. And he's truly a saint. So the Kazi had said, if you survive this, when he gave the pronouncement, if you survive this, then I'll understand that you're a saint. So then he understood that he's a saint. And he begged forgiveness from Haridas. And Haridas said, well, you know, actually, you don't need to beg forgiveness. It's me that should beg forgiveness from Krishna. He goes, I heard you say all these bad things about the holy name, and he didn't do anything. Later, Lord Chaitanya told Haridas, you remember when you were being beaten in those marketplaces and there wasn't even a mark on your body? It's because I came and received those beatings myself. I came to kill them because they were beating you. But I was constrained because I'm supposed to deliver the fallen. And so I covered your body with my body. And he pulled his upper garment to the side and showed Haridas the marks where his body was being beaten. It was just a pastime. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu protected Haridas Thakur. Later, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after accepting the renounced order of life, left Navadvip and he went to Puri, and then Haridas Thakur also went to Puri. This is the dome of the temple of Puri. Imagine, you know, seeing the chakra at the top, that's this. There's a flag on top of the chakra. So Haridas would sit a little distance away, up kind of on a little mound, little bit of a rise, a little hillock, and that's where his residence was, and he would day and night chant the holy name. This is not in sequence. Back in Puliya, meanwhile, where he was residing for a while, he lived in a cave, and there was a poisonous snake in the cave, and the people that would come to see him, they couldn't, they would, the poison in the cave with their fumes were so toxic that their eyes would sting. Just being in the cave for a few moments, they would start coughing and said, Haridas, how can you stay here? This snake is poisonous and very dangerous. And can you please move? We can't bear to know that you're in this cave with a snake. And Haridas said, well, I don't have any problem, but if you're suffering, then tomorrow I'll leave. So just as they spoke, the snake left. The Leela describes this huge serpent at that very moment slithered out of the cave, because the cave, the place where the cave of Haridas was by the side of the Ganges. And everyone, they were amazed. Haridas is, he's awesome. Because within the heart of Haridas is the super soul, and within the heart of the serpent is the super soul. If Haridas is going to be inconvenienced, then super soul directed the serpent to take a hike. Leave the cave. Okay. Then one other pastime described in Chaitanya Bhagavat is, there was a Muslim man who was a snake charmer. Now, we don't see this too often today, but they have a certain ability by playing a musical instrument and saying certain mantras. They can get the cobras to come out of a box and move to and fro with the sound of the music. They're snake charmers. And the description of the Leela that took place was, while in Puglia there was a snake charmer doing his thing, and there were a crowd of people around watching the snake charmer charm the snake, the charmer then began, after playing his instrument, began chanting various mantras, very interesting. Then Lord Ananta appeared in the snake charmer's body and caused the snake charmer to dance. And as he danced, the Lord of the Serpents began to sing about Krishna's dancing on the hoods of the Kaliya Lake. There's a pastime where Krishna danced on the hoods of the Kaliya Serpent. Haridas was hearing all this. And Haridas, a great devotee, he became overwhelmed with ecstasy. And he also began dancing and dancing and dancing madly. And the snake charmer, then when he finished his charming, he came and embraced Haridas with great affection. Well, in the crowd there happened to be an envious person. Sometimes there's crowd envious people here and there. And the envious Brahmana, who watched all this, and he was, how can Haridas, who's not a Brahmana, be so, you know, respected by everybody? And so what the Brahmana did, he pretended, imitating Haridas, to be in ecstasy, and he fell to the ground in ecstasy, or imitation ecstasy. He crashed to the ground and became motionless. The snake charmer picked up a stick and started smacking him, beating him violently with a stick. And the man that was in trance wasn't in trance. He jumped up and started running. And everybody asked, you know, how come you embrace Haridas and you beat the Brahmin? And the snake charmer said, well, one was genuine, the other was imitation. And the person who imitates a saintly person is to be punished. So I punished him. It wasn't even a Vaishnava, he was a Muslim. But he understood this. So, then Haridas came to Puri. There's Siddha Bakul that has grown and grown and grown, 500-year-old tree. Out of humility, Haridas would state, when he was offered a place, Lord Chaitanya was providing places for everybody to stay, he said, I cannot go near the temple because I'm low caste, abominable person. I have no authority to go there. If I could just get a solitary place near the temple, I could stay there alone and pass my time. I do not wish the servants of Lord Jagannath to touch me. I would remain there in the garden alone. That's my desire. He was thinking, if I go to the temple, the brahmanas, they come here and there, come and go, and if they bump into me before they go and do their service, that if they're now contaminated and they go worship Lord Jagannath, that's no good. So I'll just stay in a remote place. He was happy to be in a remote place. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu obliged him. And each time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would, every day he'd go see the deity, because Haridas wouldn't go see the deity, he would bring prasad of the deity to Haridas. Haridas, he would embrace Haridas, and Haridas would object, and Lord Chaitanya would say, I wish to touch you just to be purified, for your purified activities do not exist in me. Both very humble statements. During Rath Yatra, every year there's, just like down Fifth Avenue, there's a Rath Yatra festival, and that's just in pursuance of this Rath Yatra festival that's in Puri. And when Lord Chaitanya would arrange the kirtan parties, he had Haridas as one of the dancers before Lord Jagannath, described here, who would be the kirtan singers and who would be the dancers. Haridas was one of the dancers. In this way, Haridas was a primary participant in all of the Lord's Rath Yatra pastimes, in all of his Sankirtan Leelas, When it came to performing service and dancing and singing loudly in public, Haridas was not shy. It would appear from this example that shyness is not equivalent to humility. Important small lesson. There's a little message found in Chaitanya Charitamrita about Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur, because like Haridas, Rupa was extremely humble, so he would not stay near the temple or even go into the temple. So he stayed with Haridas, and they took each other's association. When Haridas wrote a drama, he wrote this very famous and beautiful verse. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. Then we desire many, many mouths. And when that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. When Rupa Goswami recited this verse, reading out what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was reading out what Haridas had written, what Rupa Goswami had written, Haridas began chanting and dancing and praising this verse of Rupa Goswami. So they were intimate associates, Rupa and Haridas, whenever Rupa came to Puri. And also, there's a very wonderful exchange between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sanatan Goswami. This is Haridas, by the way. It's a long story, and we don't have much time for a long story right now. But Sanatana Goswami, another extremely elevated associate of Lord Chaitanya, came to Puri on the course of his travels. He developed a disease of the body that had sores that were oozing smelly liquid substance. And he felt so embarrassed that Lord Chaitanya wanted to embrace him, and he didn't want to smear this yucky stuff on Lord Chaitanya's body. So different things that would take about 20 minutes to describe took place. Finally, Sanatan Goswami decided that after Rath Yatra was over, he'd go back to Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya said, "You can't do that. Stay here." Then he decided, when I go back to Vrindavan, I'll jump off Govardhan Hill, give up my life. "You can't do that. You're my devotee. You've given your body to me. This body belongs to me, and I have plans. You can't do that." And then again, Lord Chaitanya came and embraced Sanatana Goswami. And he tried to, and Sanatana Goswami backed away. "Don't, please, don't do this. And it'll be a great offense for me." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Sanatan, you're like a mother has affection for their baby. And the baby may be smeared with, you know, undesirable substances. But the mother loves that relationship with the baby, and for them it's not a problem, and you're like that with me, so I want to embrace you." And he embraced Sanatan Goswami, and all those sores went away. Like another miracle. And Haridas was observing the whole thing. And Haridas said, "Sanatan, you're so dear to Lord Chaitanya. You're the most dear of all devotees to Lord Chaitanya. He orchestrated this whole situation so that you would have no other recourse but surrender to him, and then he took the problem away." And Sanatana then said to Haridas, "You are the greatest recipient of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, because," and he gave the reason why he said that. He said, "Some people, they're very good at how they speak, but their behavior isn't so good. And some people, their behavior is good, but they don't speak so well. But you're an expert in both. your experts at Rova. So, intimate association between Haridas and Sanatan Goswami. Here's a glorification mentioned where Lord Chaitanya is glorifying Haridas. This is, by the way, Lord Chaitanya. Over here is Haridas. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Haridas, the teacher of the holy name, is among the most exalted of all devotees. Every day he chants 300,000 holy names of the Lord. I learned about the glories of the Lord's holy name from Haridas, and by his mercy I have understood these glories. So we're going to hear about this on Friday this week from Harinam Chintamani. I'm going to skip this. So, yeah. This is Haridas Thakur speaks Harinam Chintamani when Lord Chaitanya wants to hear the glories of the holy name from him. The final pastime is found in Lord Chaitanya's life in relation to Haridas. His Haridas was quite elder, and one time when Lord Chaitanya came to visit him, he brought prasad, and Haridas said, well, I can't accept prasad because I haven't completed my chanting, but I have to honor prasad because it's prasad, so I'll just take a little pinch and accept it like that. Then he said to Lord Chaitanya, I have one request. Whatever you want, Haridas, anything you want. Well, here's the one thing. I know that soon you're going to conclude your pastimes, and I don't want to witness your pastimes. It will break my heart. So, can you grant this one request? Please let me leave my body before you end your pastimes. I'd like to see your beautiful, smiling face before my very eyes and give up my body calling the holy name. And Lord Chaitanya's reply was, Lord Narayana will surely grant and fulfill your desire because of your pure devotion. So the very next day, Lord Chaitanya came. Haridas was in this situation. As you see, here's the sit of a cool tree. He was getting ready to depart his body. Lord Chaitanya sat before him, like you see, looking in his eyes directly. And Haridas called out loudly the holy name of the Lord while the associates were crying and weeping. Haridas Thakur gave up his body. Lord Chaitanya then lifted the now lifeless body of Haridas Thakur in his arms and carried him. While kirtan was going on, Lord Chaitanya weeping and crying and in ecstasy of love for his dear devotee Haridas, and began dancing and dancing and dancing and twirling around and in ecstatic love. And gradually the kirtan party moved to the position of the sea, which was not so far from where Haridas was seated. And when they reached the sea with his own hands, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed the body of Haridas with seawater. And then there's the Jagannath temple in the background. Then some distance away with his own hand, he began digging the place where Haridas's body would be placed. And then with his own hand, with flowers, and you know, following the rituals and having the brahmanas chant the proper mantras and the huge kirtan, tumultuous kirtan going on in the background, the samadhi of Haridas Thakur was established. And to this day, there's a very special place where the samadhi of Haridas Thakur, established directly personally by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was placed. And then there was a huge feast. Lord Chaitanya ordered a huge feast to be prepared. And all the items, the prasadam items, were brought. And Lord Chaitanya, with his own hand, began distributing prasad to all the devotees. And they all sat there looking at the prasad because they wouldn't eat unless Lord Chaitanya ate. And finally, he got them to sit down and they honored the prasad. So a very glorious, very lengthy description, detailed description of the passing of Haridas Thakur. So the instrument of Lord Chaitanya's chanting of the holy name was Haridas Thakur, and the next three evenings we have our gatherings starting this coming Friday. We'll hear about chapter one of Harinam Chintamani, spoken by Haridas in response to questions that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks about the glories of the holy name and so forth. Hare Krishna. Srila Haridas Thakur ki jaya. You very patiently sat through all this. Any comments or questions from anybody?
I have been confused about the Haridas Thakur being Prahlad Maharaj and simultaneously Brahma. Can you like a little bit sort of help me understand if there are two people and one person, how does that work? Am I just not understanding anymore?
Well, it's not at all an easy thing to understand. So don't feel bad about it. And it's not like there's two jiva souls inside one body instead of one. That's not the case. Rather, it has more to do in this case, because there's other examples of this. It has to do with bhava, or mood of ecstasy. Now, Prahlad Maharaj had a certain mood of ecstasy in his love of Lord Nrisingadeva, and including his love of chanting the holy name, specifically. And that's why Lord Chaitanya said, you are a manifestation of Prahlad Maharaj. So within the same body, there's one jiva, who in his previous life, this is my understanding of these, you know, within one entity, there's two different personalities. Not that there's two different souls, but it's more of a statement of the ecstasy of that person. Consistently, for example, consistently with Haridas, he's Lord Brahma in his next life. So what does that mean? I mean, think about that one for a moment. Lord Brahma lasts for the whole duration of the universe. And when the universe is over, you know, where's Haridas Thakur during that period of time? Follow. But, so how does Lord Brahma take birth in his next life? It's another cosmic manifestation. It's because for another universe. That's mind-bending. So, it's a personality because here's another. In Krishna's Leela, so Brahma was taking part in Krishna's Leela. Simultaneously, not that one soul divides into two souls, but all the associates of Krishna take part in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, or all the person in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, they're associates of Krishna. How does that work? Does the soul expand from one into two? No. Their counterparts, you know, the technology of how it works is not explained. But it is an understood fact that the associates of Lord Chaitanya are simultaneously associates of Krishna. Not this one and then that one. So however that works, you can understand or accept that principle. When Lord Brahma takes part in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, he does so as Haridas, and Haridas also adopts the mood, at least, like Prahlad. Great humility, great attachment, great love for the holy name. At least that's maybe not a complete understanding, but it's something of an understanding.
Like that painting has one side is like Mayapur and the other side is
exactly. Well, take it one step further and you know, fasten your seatbelt. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that those who practice devotional service in this life and become purified in this life, when they go to the spiritual world, they will simultaneously, you, Kali Krishna, when you go back to Godhead, and every one of the rest of us, when we go back to Godhead, we'll simultaneously take part in Krishna's pastimes and Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Not like we become two jivas, but however that happens, that happens. Next question. Anyone have something? That's not good. Yes. Sure. It doesn't mean like Bharatanatyam dancing and those kinds of things. It doesn't negate those things. Those things are also cultural. But, you know, it has more to do, it's not merely a philosophy, it's not merely a belief. So beliefs can change and philosophy can change. So culture means more like a way of life. A life of Krishna Bhakti. Krishna consciousness is a life of Krishna Bhakti. It's a cultural movement. And so a cultural movement carries the participants in that culture in a mood of devotion to Krishna. And it may have so many different expressions, and that's fine. The diversity of expression is fine. The spirit of the culture, like how you live your life. Let's take, you know, the America is a culture of no culture, but where there is culture, let's say, you know, the culture of whatever it is, the culture of China, the culture of Africa, how people live their life. It's not just an external thing, it's the spirit in which they live their life, and it takes its manifestation in so many varieties. So, the culture of a life of devotion, that's Krishna consciousness. It's not dependent upon birth, or color, or, you know, socioeconomic. It's not dependent upon those things. You know, you fit in if you're in this group. It's a cultural expression. An expression of a life of devotion. It's accessible to anyone and everyone. Spiritual culture. Yes. Huh? Well, commonly Prabhupada would say no, but one can also say yes in a non-conventional sense. In a conventional sense, you would say no because, here's the no reason. A dictionary definition, which means, you know, the common use of the word, religion, means a belief in God. And Prabhupada's comment was, beliefs can change. In fact, they do. From one individual to another, or even one individual in one part of their life to another, beliefs can change. So what is it that's unchanging? That's what Srila Prabhupada would say. Krishna consciousness is not a religion, it's the eternal activity of a living being. Similar to this culture question. So what's the eternal activity of the living being? Regardless of their belief, this is now, it's right in Srimad Bhagavatam, the first few verses of Canto 1. It says, what is it that all living beings do, regardless of their beliefs? They're engaged in some service. And they may be serving this way, that way, but everyone is serving. And ultimately, in its highest form, that service is service to the Supreme. So that's what Krishna consciousness is. It's not a religion in the sense of a belief. It's the activity of the living, the constitutional activity of the living entity in immortality. That's what Krishna consciousness is. In that sense, not a religion in that sense. But a religion in another sense, in the sense that God is at the center. So commonly, another common use is religion is where people have a belief in this, so God is at the center. It's not just, it's not merely a belief that can be this and then it can change to that and then something else and something else. Or over a period of time, over centuries and, you know, stretches of time, religions change. But the Krishna consciousness is not something that, the essence of it is cultural. The spirit of devotion to the Supreme. Say more on that, but that's... Yeah.
Well, I heard Prabhupada say that it was the science of the soul.
Yeah.
Instead of religion, the first time science.
But it, yes. Now, when we speak amongst ourselves, and even when we speak to others who are not amongst ourselves, we may say like that. At this, I'm being cautious because we want to be clear who we are. We also want to be able to communicate to others in a way that others understand what we mean. Meaning, I've been in situations where I was being asked. Well, I'll be a little explicit. I was being asked by a government officer in China. Is this a religion? And I gave him, no, it's a science of the soul kind of thing. It's a cultural, and he just like, well, but is it a religion? And I knew what he meant when he was asking the question. And I was giving him, you know, a Krishna conscious answer, but is it a religion? You know, by your understanding, one can say it's a religion. You know, and et cetera. You know, people from world religion classes come to the Hare Krishna temple to study Hare Krishna religion. So in one sense, it's a religion. In a loose sense, in a more clear and direct sense, it's science of the soul is a cultural movement. Don't put us in a box. Because, you know, religion means there's us and then there's them. And one of the things, you know, the Chinese government is very concerned about is especially foreign people coming in and doing the us and them thing. And that people get loyalty to them instead of us. And that's a problem. They don't want problems. They'll crush somebody before they get a problem. They don't want problems. So, I ended up, you know, okay. You know, not exactly, but, you know, we can think of it, this as a religion. And then it went to the next step, and then to the next step. In China, there are 5 recognized religions. And then the next one was, China is a government of law. You know what that meant? I mean, I knew what that meant. You're against the law. And I'm the law. Come with me. But he didn't do that. He just like, you know, I'm the cat and you're the mouse and you're in the jaws of the mouse, the jaws of the cat. I'm going to play with you for a while. If you step out of line, you're finished. That was, anyway, it was intimidation. But, you know, he wanted to be very clear. And he knew the person he was meeting with. It was, you know, he knew he was meeting with a GBC member. He knew what that meant because he had heard that from the other devotees. But GBC, he's talking to one of the international organization people, sending one of their people into our country and getting some of this us and them thing going on over here. So I want to check you guys out. Anyway, are you a religion? Science of the soul. If I had just stuck with that, it would have been a minus score for me. He wanted me to, you know, be the mouse and I'm the cat and you're a religion. Anyway. Yeah. Yes.
I think one I very much appreciate your female Baba comment as much. I listened to them earlier. They give me a source of solace and self-realization. And years back, we defined the difference between religion versus spirituality. Religion, we said, in order to take shelter of God, is a series of laws.
Yes.
By God, we must adhere to.
Yes. Prabhupada also said that.
The new cultural movement defines more of a spirituality, whereas religion is much more concrete as God's laws that we must abide by and adhere to.
Well, when we think, I appreciate what you're saying. At the same time, there's, you know, a cultural society that's so vague it could be like milquetoast. It's, you know, what does it mean? And religion means something because there's laws. Maybe Prabhupada would say that. Religion means laws given by God. And to be a religious person, you follow the laws given by God. And there are people in this world that can really relate to that. I mean, I've had conversations with people from Jewish tradition. You know, one of the first questions they've asked is, are there laws that you're supposed to follow? Because that's the paradigm of what a religion is. You say, no, we don't have any laws to follow. We're just, so they can't relate. Yeah, there's laws. And we believe in following the laws. Okay, can you tell me what your laws are? Let's get going. Well, you know, we should, everything belongs to God. That's a law. And don't break the law, because then you get, you get punished for breaking the law, with the laws of God. And how do you live your life with God as the proprietor of things? It's a consciousness that you have to carry. So even I have, you start describing it. But it's, To feel comfortable that Krishna consciousness is a religion in that sense is also fine, as Srila Prabhupada described. That's sadhana. But sadhana then leads to what? Sadhana leads to bhava and leads to prema. In that state of prema, it's not really law. It's the culture of a life of devotion to Krishna. So when you have a transcendental or a Bhagavatam oriented sense of what culture means, then it's a cultural movement. It starts with laws, and we follow laws. We don't break them. During the Christmas holiday, we're going to have a gathering in Chicago, and it's going to be right on this point. Here's addressing the six principles of surrender. The first two of the principles of surrender is, we didn't use the language, but accepting the law and not breaking the law. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. Accepting things favorable for bhakti. So initially it's law, and then eventually it's spontaneous. I don't need the law, I just spontaneously do it. So that's where the law helps one come to that stage of a life of devotion. Spontaneously and then lovingly and ecstatically. Life of devotion.
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to confirm my understanding of the answer to Kriya, is that Lord Brahma and Prahlad, it is just one jiva.
Yes, there's one jiva. Now, the little disclaimer or something, there may very well be other understandings than what I said that are perfectly fine and probably better. I'm just sharing what is certainly one jiva, not two jivas or three, even three, or sometimes like that. Examples without giving the examples. It's one jiva. So there's a distinction is the ecstasy or the bhava, the mood. And that makes the person. And so within this jiva, there's these particular ecstasies or bhavas or moods of love or regard for Krishna. That's the person. So within that body, there's these ecstasies and love of Krishna situation. That's my understanding, in any case. Once you... Yes?
Maharsha, all of Mahaprabhu's associates were fraternal associates.
Yes.
So how come Haridas, whose Brahma is acting on par with Lalitha's Krishna, Vishakha, Nanda Manjari, on that? How did he... What austerities did he do to get that opportunity to be on that level?
Well, you know... The post of Lord Brahma is not for a slouch or a moderate personality. It's such an important post that if there isn't the right person, Krishna occupies it himself. He's very intimate associate. Now, his role or his function isn't like, mantras and so forth of Krishna and Vrindavan. But he's in his Vrindavan Leela, and Krishna is interacting with him in a very, special and wonderful way. So, Lord Chaitanya, your question is, why not? And my answer is, why not? Lord Chaitanya liked to empower persons, and part of what he did, Haridas Thakur did, was he taught the teachings of the holy name, as we're going to hear, over the next 3 years. So, and those teachings are, very, very, very exalted. It's a very intimate position. So now, why not a Manjari? Well, Lord Chaitanya liked it like that. He loves Lord Brahma. Now, these other associates, they did some fantastic other service, too, in terms of his lila and, the churning of the ecstasies of Lord Chaitanya, assisting him in that way. Lord Chaitanya isn't restricted to, our sensibilities and things. Lord Brahma is very dear to him too. Yes?
I was just wondering, outside of piety, firstly comes to mind, what is the position of piety as a personality?
Well, first, before I respond to what is Maya Devi as a personality, that pastime is puzzling for me. Like, how does Maya Devi go and do something like that anyways? Because her business is something else anyways. Her business is going testing Haridas. It personified. That's puzzling. But it's a pastime of the Lord, of one of the dear associates of the Lord. And so Lord Chaitanya is giving Maya Devi an opportunity to get Haridas' association. Very merciful. So her personality, who is she? She is, in Brahma Samhita, it's very, very clearly described, she is the reflection of, she's the reflection of the Lord's internal potency. So the Lord has internal potency, and there's the reflection of his internal potency. What's the reflection of the internal potency? Well, it's likened in Chaitanya Charitamrita to a maid servant. There's the king and his queen and a maid servant of the queen. So she's intimately connected to the queen, but she's not the queen. The queen is the queen. And the maid servant of the queen is the maid servant of the queen. And the king may have some in dealing with the maid servant, but in relation to the queen, not otherwise. So that's the function of Maya, is on behalf of the Supreme Lord, or his internal potency, she has a service to do. You know, bewilder the conditioned souls, those that are rebellious, to give them this sense of I'm independent and I'm enjoying it. I'm having a great time, even though getting smashed. So that's Maya. That's her function. And she is described in the Bhagavatam, she has a thankless task. The Lord doesn't ask her, go get him. She knows, on the one hand, that the Lord wants living entities to again be in a loving relation. But she doesn't like it when they're rebellious towards him, so she doesn't have it. But when the disposition of those living entities, this is part of her personality, when the disposition of those living entities choose to turn towards Krishna, she helps them come towards Krishna. She's the maid servant of the queen. And people that are like hostile towards the king, she keeps them away. Keeps them really busy. They don't have time for the king. They're too busy running around, trying to enjoy our part from the king. That's what she does. It'll be illusory activity. She sees herself as a servant. There's this wonderful exchange in Navadvipa Mahatmya where Parvati sees Lord Chaitanya in Navadvipa. And she appeals to him, I never get your association because I'm always busy with the other conditioned souls. I never get an opportunity. Please be kind to me. And he said, my dear Devi, actually, you're an expansion of my internal potency. You assist me as my internal potency this way, and you assist me in that way. To just see yourself as an assistant of me, everything's nice. And so how Maya acts is according to how the living entity has regard for Krishna. She helps us come to Krishna. She helps us come to Krishna. Which is very fascinating. You can be in the material world and be helped by the material world, by Maya Devi herself, to come to Krishna. If we have the proper regard for Krishna. And she does the opposite if we don't. Alright, I'm going to end there. And we'll have a little kirtan for a bit while prasadam gets ready and stuff like that.